Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and I welcome you to weekend 20 ahead of us, middle of May. Fishing opener already past weekend, so it has gotten really busy here in Lakes Country, and I welcome you. I hope you enjoy the good weathers and the open water and successful walleye catching and all those things. Please stay tuned. We have with us today Hunter and Jake, and they will speak about their event called Turf Wars, and it's a drag race, a dirt drag race. They will explain all about it. It's coming up soon, in a couple weeks in June, here in Cornrod Village, so stay tuned for this. Thank you for tuning in and for your feedback and all the nice things you say. I appreciate any email we get. hello@lakelifeweekend.com. You can share with us your insights about Lake Life, and if you have some content to publish, please feel free to email us. I hope you check out our daily updated website. We have lots of events and stories to share. And I also want to thank our sponsor again this week, At Ease Dock and Lift from Frazee, right on Highway 10 east of Detroit Lakes going towards Perham. They have lots of docks and lifts available for you to choose from. Speak to Mike or John at Ease Dock and Lift, and they will help you with your shoreline fun, lake fun this season. I don't want to keep this much longer to our interview. Please, if you have events to share, things we can publish on our website, email them to us to events@lakelifeweekend.com, and I look forward to hearing from you. Any kinds of suggestions you have for our program. Thanks again for tuning in, and have fun with our interview this week, and get ready for Turf Wars at Cormorant Village, first weekend of June. Thank you. Have a great weekend ahead. Welcome to our interview part. I'm here with Hunter and Jake of Turf Wars. Hey, Hunter. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. Before we talk, Turf Wars, and I just learned it's a grass drag race. Before we go into the event coming in June, tell us a little bit about yourself. You live and play in Lakes Country. Have you relocated here? Are you born? Are you from Lakes Country?
Well, my name's Hunter. Yeah, I'm 23. I'm born and raised in the DL area. Play here. Love the area. Don't want to leave ever. So we just thought we'd start something fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Jake. I'm 20, and I grew up here my whole life and don't ever plan on leaving. I just, basically lived in the Lakes area my whole life, and I have a blast with it. So we decided we need to get something going.
Yeah. No, I met you just recently last year. I got in touch with both of you, I guess, and I live here too. I'm really fascinated. You're a little younger, and I always thought it's good to leave, but I totally understand now why you all stay.
Yeah, the lake culture is just totally different. You know, it's people don't really realize what it's like, but it's a blast once you get here and participate in all the stuff we do.
I agree. And now last year, this is the second annual event. You're doing a drag race. Tell us a little bit more to understand, what is a drag race? What is Turf Wars?
Turf Wars is a grass drag race for recreational vehicles, so dirt bike, snowmobile, ATV, side-by-side. Anything you got that's not road legal, you can race, basically.
And now you mentioned snowmobile, and we have spring and summer already. Where is it happening? In what environment? It's not on the road, so not a drag race on the road.
No, so at my dad's shop, he has a airplane runway, okay. And it's just a perfect flat, straight, long, like, so we're like, hey, that's like a perfect spot, you know? So, basically, you line them up there, and you just go like 500 feet straight down the field.
So it's a grass runway?
Yeah, grass runway. It's right where my dad takes off and lands every day.
Okay. And you're not damaging it with those?
We kind of put it out of commission for about a week or so.
Oh.
We kind of tear it up. We like to make barricades so it's safe and stuff.
Oh, awesome.
Out of dirt and stuff. And then we just kind of fix it afterwards.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So now we know the vehicles. So we have all kinds of motor engines. How come they take a snowmobile in the summer? Explain me a little bit on the vehicles.
Well, we figured everyone had a snowmobile, and there's actually a large following of grass drags in other states, and I mean even in Minnesota, but not so much in our area. So we figured we'd incorporate snowmobiles this year, just because, you know, everyone has one, so everyone can have some fun.
You can race them on the grass?
Yeah.
So I mean, they're not made for it, obviously, but if you bring them out, it's not going to hurt them or anything. You can just do a pass, bring it around, shut it down, and, I mean, a lot of people do it. It's actually pretty common in other places that they'll just build them into grass mobiles instead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how many... So it's a culture, too, yeah? Grass drags are culture?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long have they existed? Quite a while?
Yeah. Since you could race, basically, since people got... Everyone's always competitive, so they like racing.
My grandpa, he was always doing grass drags when he was our age, so
really?
They've been around for quite a while, and I didn't even really, like, get really into them until Hunter kind of hopped me on board, but...
So it has been happening all over, and now you're the first ones really organizing an event in the local area?
There used to be an event in Detroit Lakes or Perm area, I don't remember exactly, but it was called Roll-A-Days, and we don't know why, but they... just shut down, I guess. We tried to get in contact with the owners, but we couldn't find out where they were, so we kind of just like, well, let's do it.
Let's do a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you did the first one last year.
Yeah.
And how many people came?
I think we had a rough, like, 100 participants and maybe 150 to 200 for, like, spectating all around, I guess.
That many?
Yeah, and we did minimal advertising. We had a blast when me and Hunter showed up in the morning. There was a bunch of people who were like, okay, wow, this is happening.
So you just came up with an idea, and how did you communicate it?
Well, so how it like all started from the beginning, I guess me and him have always been like competitive with racing and whose machine can be the fastest. I mean, we'd hang out on the weekends and we just talk smack and race down the runway or whatever, and we're like, why don't we throw an event together, because there's nothing like that around here.
Okay, so you're friends and you have always been using machinery, and then you... Okay, what do you own? What did you use? A dirt bike?
I use a ATV. So last year I built a Can-Am DS450. It's like a... basically like a racing quad that they use for jumping, but I'm like, I'll just race in a straight line, you know, but...
Yeah. It's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's, well, this one, they come stock with like 40 horse, and I built it to 51, which doesn't sound like a lot. It's 10, but it's on a 300-pound frame, so.
It's light.
Yeah.
And therefore it's fast.
Yeah.
Is it safe?
Depends.
It depends, okay.
Depends who's asking, I guess.
And what are you driving?
I have a Yamaha Banshee that I completely built last year. It has around 100 horse, so.
Okay.
Jake always loses.
Yeah, that's... I've been always trying to keep up to him. It's been a battle.
So you actually really just always were competitive with each other, against each other,
yep,
and
yep.
Therefore the idea was born to throw an event. And then how, from the idea to the first event, how much time was it? Was it like a couple weeks, couple months? How quickly did you do that?
We talked about it last March, or end of March, and, you know, and we're like, well, we got to do it before all the other summer activities hit, you know, because people are going to want to be in the lakes and stuff, and we didn't want to do it too late because then people would be going back to school, and so we're like, well, we better get this in order and start getting stuff done. And
so it was in June last year?
Yep.
Also?
First weekend of June.
So you had 3 months prep?
Pretty much, yeah. We just kind of slapped it all together, and we're like, let's try it. We just had to get PA speakers, a register booth, and... kind of get the word out just a little bit.
And then did you post it on Facebook? Did you make some flyers? How did you reach out to the participants?
Last year we made a Facebook like a group, and we just invited friends mostly, and we had some flyers, but that's basically it. And this year we're actually paying for advertising on Facebook, and all
sure.
as much advertising as we can get, we're trying to get.
And And last year you were surprised that so many people showed up. Where did they all come from?
We had actually some people come from Canada or like close to Florida. Like they came from everywhere and we're just like, how did you guys see this, you know? And they like drove all the way, which we thought was cool, you know? And then we had a kid and a dad from Ohio, I think, or yeah, Ohio. And they're like, yeah, we saw it on Facebook and they were actually big into grass drakes. They had fully built machines and it was wild.
So they came all the way and they just saw it on Facebook and it's such a, okay, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, we were really surprised, but we were more than happy.
It just shows you the culture that there is actually a big following. If they're willing to travel this far just for
exactly
a race event that they just get a trophy at and for so fun, a lot of fun.
Do you have certain categories? Like is there up to 50 horse, up to 100 horse? Like do you have categories? How many races are there? How does that work?
So Hunter can help me with this, but we basically set into like classes. So like you have your 0 to 250 cc, which is X amount of horsepower.
Yeah.
And then your 250 plus, like to the sky's the limit in that. But then you have like your stock and modified. So if people want to bring just something basically bought from the dealership,
sure,
and you don't do anything to it, you'll enter it in the stock,
sure,
250 class. Or if you want to get your hands greasy and really build it up, we have a mod class.
Okay, so how many is that? Like at
there's
least five?
11.
11?
11 total classes, mm-hmm, this year.
Okay, so 11. According to my equipment, I get classified and then I race in that.
Yep, and you can always jump up classes. So if you have a stock machine and you want to go and open mod just because, hey, why not? You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping, you just can't go down classes. And it's mm-hmm double elimination tournament, so you have to lose twice. So you can lose your first race and win your way all the way back and win the whole class if you...
Also, okay, I have multiple turns. So, yeah, explain that. So if I sign up for a stock 250 and then let's say there's like 15 in that class maybe, mm-hmm, then I race everybody? Or like how is that? How does it work?
So basically, it's just set up like a tournament bracket style, but then we like to add the double elimination twist.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say me and you are the first race of the day, and for some reason you get a bad launch or whatever on the start, and I beat you.
Yeah.
Then you'll go to the other bracket, and then you have one chance left, and then you can race all the way back to the top and win it.
Okay. So, but if you win, for example, you're in the next step already.
Yeah, I'm in the next step already, so I have to do less races than you.
Ah, okay, okay. So, and according or depending on the amount of participants in one class, that longer is that
right
and the
final for the first place, it's best of three too, so you'll whoever is fighting for the first place spot, you race three times. And
oh,
so the
or
last
two
race,
times, you
yeah
know, if you win twice in a row then you get first, but
oh,
you
that's
win
a
one,
final
it, yeah
drag
yeah
for the last two,
yep,
and you do it a couple
best,
times
yeah best two out of three for the final one.
Okay. And did you adapt or copy that structure from other races, or did you come up with that for yourself?
I'm sure other people have done it, but we were just thinking, you know, because there's a few times you're not going to get the perfect launch, or you're going to miss a gear or whatever the circumstances may be. So we're like, well, we don't want it to be one and done and the day is over. So if you lose one, you better get your stuff together, and then if you think you got it, you win your way back in.
It's a little Midwest nice in there.
Right.
Yeah. You gotta, yeah. Can't be all serious. You know,
okay,
you gotta,
so
yeah,
there's a lot of fun, and it's more of the enjoyment of that day.
Right.
Rather than, like, being all in tears.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, understood. So, but you didn't get inspired. You didn't copy. Like, you came up with that yourself. So they say, no, that's fair. So you built the whole logic, and the whole event is your signature.
To a point, yeah. I mean, we're not
the
first
idea
ones to do it, but we didn't really go out and Google everything. We just kind of like, oh,
well, I'm just
cool
asking. I'm wondering. I think it's a personal touch, because
right
it could be, no, in Ohio and Wisconsin, they all do it like one chance. That's it. Bad luck. No, but I hear you definitely wanted it to be more of a...
Well, how we kind of thought of it too is like, well, we're throwing this in Cormorant, you know, so like we got to throw our own twists on things too, you know, like it's our event around here and... You know, you can kind of make the rules to make it more fun for everybody.
Yeah. No, it's. I get it. So, how many? Roughly 100, and how old were they? What's the age groups? What's the youngest and the
so
oldest?
So probably we had one kid that was maybe five or
five.
Eight, yeah, five, six, and he was just on a little bike, and he had his brother hold him up or whatever, and then he'd just go. That was in like the little pit bike class, and it was just like cute. Yeah, so we had maybe people all the way from 5 to 55 or 60.
Yeah,
like my dad even races in it and stuff. He loves it. So.
Oh, but not the plane.
No, not the plane. Not the plane.
So your dad was a participant? Cool, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the side-by-side class. So okay. It's just like a car, yep. But on motor wheels, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, yeah.
So that's a wide spectrum.
Right.
Yeah. And not that I want to overshadow this, but it's always, there's some risk involved. Do you have, like, waivers or, like, the parents sign off? Like, if a five-year-old, like, my son is nine, I'm more the scary parent, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So how is that? Is it under control? There's limited.
Yeah, it's not just a chaotic race. There's waivers that you have to sign, and if you're not 18, you have to have a guardian with you.
Yeah.
And then they sign that, and then, I mean, you have to wear helmet, DOT approved helmet, full pants, closed shoe, and you
also
know.
you have some rules in place, yep. Where it's like, hey, safety first,
right? And there's no, you can't just be horsing around, you know. Yeah. We gotta protect everyone, you know.
Yeah so. Okay, no, that sounds good. It's important though too, right. I find you know, because there's fun but there's also risk,
right?
So how many people do you expect or wish for this year? Participants.
It could be really, so right now, through our like pushed advertising now, and like with putting it out on like the Seaboys page and stuff. So like right now on Facebook, we already have, I think it says rough between 300 and 400 that are interested, and so many are going.
Really?
I don't know the exact stat, but then yeah, I've already had three people from Canada call me and say, hey, is there like camping and stuff? Because we're coming all the way from up here. So that's what's, we're really so kind of pumped about.
So it's going to be big.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, we're bigger the better. We want to make this thing a legit event. And so.
Can you host 300 participants?
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's plenty of land.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of room. And now we got it set up. So our tournament bracket is on the computer now, so it just does it for us.
Okay.
So we just got to type in their names, all register, and we're good to go.
But, like, it's also time, you know.
If you're right.
Yeah.
So... how many races, you know, what's the maximum capacity a day if you start at 9?
Right.
And it goes till 6 p.m. all of a sudden?
Well, we don't have a time limit. We have stadium lights out there. If it needs to be that late,
we'll... Yeah, no, we'll go all day.
And really? I mean, yeah. We're open to a two-day event next year if we need to, you know, if it turns into something bigger.
Do you have
a
food truck there? Like, what are you doing? Like, do you provide
we have, right now we have, it's just... ice cream truck is what it is, and mm-hmm. they have water and snacks and stuff, so they're coming out, and then we're about 5 minutes or less, about 2 minutes from gas station, restaurants, Cormorant Village is right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did have another, we're kind of battling back and forth between ideas and stuff, but we have another food truck that wants to come out, who's got like your whole like burgers, chicken sandwiches, all that stuff.
Sure.
So that might see that out there as well.
Yeah, why not? I mean, like, not. It's also a service that if I go there with my son to even look at it, it's kind of cool.
Right.
We can spend several hours with a snack, and that sounds really exciting.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm super pumped.
And it's happening very soon. So you're in the final stages, actually. I mean, like, it's June. What date is it exactly?
June 2nd. It's Saturday.
June
registration 2nd. Starts at 8 a.m. So.
Okay. And then I'll communicate that on our website, but it's in Cormorant Village.
Yeah, so if you just, right where the town hall is, you just take that left straight across from it. You can't miss it, and you'll just stay on that road for about a half a mile, and you'll see the airplane strip.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there will be some signage, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, we'll have some signs up and stuff. But.
And all our details are on our Facebook page. It's Turf Wars Racing.
Yeah, Turf Wars Racing.
And it has all the rules and classes and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Is there some pictures from last year's event?
Yep. We have pictures, and we're going to do a better job this year with recording. We're going to try to record every race and, you know, get a drone flying out there and just get a lot better coverage on it this year.
Yeah. And what was the most spectacular vehicle? Like, was there a very... I don't know, like a DeLorean? Oh, no, like something.
I got one in mind. It wasn't the fastest, but it was just the cool idea. A guy took a lawnmower and put a dirt bike motor in it. And he ran that in the open mod class, and it only went like 30, but it was just cool because you know you don't really see it.
One of a kind.
Yeah.
Like a John Deere ride on.
Yeah,
or
just
something?
A riding lawnmower. Sitting lawnmower, but he had a dirt bike motor and big extended swing arm on it. And
so there could be a class for like the most unique vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So and what was the most professional bike, or was there like describe a little bit more the vehicles? What do they all bring? The little kid brought a little tiny bike, or what was that?
Yeah, so the little kids mostly ride like pit bikes or smaller size dirt bikes that would fit into that class. So basically like little 50cc two-stroke mm-hmm. bikes or little 125 four-strokes. Mm-hmm. But then I guess a lot of the other classes, I don't know, you see a lot of older people that like the side-by-sides and stuff just because, but now they're just building them so wild that they fit nice in that class. And mm-hmm. So...
So, and then we had a lawnmower, and then we have the, how fast does a jet ski go on turf? Does it go 60 miles? Were you able to measure speed? Can you measure the speed? Do you have a laser
gun? We didn't have a radar out there, but we do 500 feet drag, so they kind of try and gear for that to hit your max speed in 500 feet. And I guess some people probably maybe hit 80 plus.
Really?
Some.
Yep.
So 500 feet is like from start to finish.
Yep.
Right, and then there's plenty of shutdown.
Yeah.
So there's probably 2,000-3,000 feet of shutdown if you needed it,
okay.
Which you
yeah.
won't. But
yeah.
There's plenty
just
of
safety.
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
500 feet is only 150. That's not even 200 meters. That sounds really short. No.
Yeah. They well, like some people, any farther than that, you'll be just getting so fast it almost becomes unsafe. Like if you were to give someone let's say 1,000 feet, they'd be maybe going 130 miles an hour, which is
a
little ridiculous.
So,
sled, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why. So it's actually the acceleration. I mean, that
right.
counts.
I know, like most, like ATV grass drags, they're only 300 or 330 feet. So we're actually a little longer than the norm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so.
Okay, and. So we hear high speeds of up to 80, 500 feet long, from as unique as normal vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So is there, just curious, like, is it organized? Do you communicate to other grass drag organizers? Could there be like, hey, the champion of Turf Wars Comrade Village and the champion of Ohio, can they all meet at the end? Like, is there communication in between? Can you follow me? Like,
I've never really even thought about that, but that's a great idea, you know? So it's
yeah.
kind of like
cool.
the mountain bike races.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, they have those, they or like the marathon guys.
Points for this race.
The marathon guys have to run certain marathons to get qualified for
yep.
the Boston, like
right.
the big, big one. You
right.
have to, that's why a lot of people come to Fargo. Like, you see really, international people all of a sudden because they get qualifier points to run the big ones.
Right.
So you could, I guess, network.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That has been in the back of my head a little. I mean, we're still pretty new, but
yeah.
it's definitely a goal,
yeah.
if you will.
Did you invite any of the other organizers, like, to say, like, hey, check this out, or just for the networking purpose, because I guess you're all very passionate people, right?
Right.
I guess you're not really competing on fame, but you're like, hey, look at that, we had the lawnmower guy there
right,
again. Like,
right.
oh, you had the lawnmower. We never had him
yeah,
nearby.
Right.
So maybe it'd be cool to invite some other organizers.
Right.
So have you been in touch with anyone? Has anyone reached out to you?
Not yet. No.
Not really. No, but like I guess kind of. I don't know, like just starting off or whatever, we just kind of want to get big, like just kind of slowly grow, you know, and get it to where like the event is known, like, hey, the people at that event, like those guys are fast or whatever, you know, and then maybe we can intermingle once our event's developed.
Sure.
More of a respectable, you
yeah,
know,
like,
most people you say Turf Wars to and they have no idea.
Yeah, sure.
So
how did you come up with the name?
We were actually talking about that on the way here, and we're just like, how did we come up with that? And we were just, it was like probably 1 or 2 in the morning, and we were just hanging out, trying to like make our flyers and stuff, and we were just, what should the name be? And we just kind of said, like, Turf Wars is a joke because, like, Turf is where the event's at, Sherbrooke Turf.
Okay.
And we're just like, hey, Turf Wars, you know, we're battling on the grass. So
sure.
That's how it kind of came about.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. No, it's good. Yeah, I forgot. It's actually only the second time because you're already so successful. Yeah,
yeah,
I
mean, no, like, it's
getting 100 participants in the first year. That's a lot.
Yeah, we were very surprised.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to expect.
We're like, hey, maybe 20 people show up first year, whatever. We'll have a good time. And then 100 racers showed up and a bunch of people to watch. We're like, all right, we're doing this. You know, we got to get it together.
How many trophies did you have prepared? Like, how many classifications?
We had last year 9 or 8 to last year, and we gave them all away. So
yeah,
we actually made, we had one extra or something like that, because we didn't originally have like a youth pit bike class, and everyone's like, oh, do you have one? And we're like, all right, let's do one. And that was like our biggest class that we had, and we didn't even have it prepared.
Oh.
But we had a trophy ready.
Oh,
an extra.
God.
So yeah,
yeah. Good.
And the little girl won it and beat Jake, so it was,
yeah, she kicked the crap out of me last race. She was she was no mercy.
Just you're too old. You're too tall too.
Oh, I know, I was about maybe 200 pounds more than the machine needed, but
that's funny. So you have trophies.
Yep.
What's the registration requirements, registration fees?
Well, the registration fees, it's $5 spectator fee to get in, and then to race is $30, and that'll get you everything you need to race, and then you'll get a Turf War sticker as well. And then if you want to jump into an additional class, it's $15 per class after that.
Okay, okay. Well, that's compatible, that's fair. They're willing to pay that, I don't know.
Yeah, no, like if you think of like any other event, so I go race motocross at Brooks sometime, and it's $20 just to get into the gate, and then any class you want to race is additional $50.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's friendly.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. We just kind of wanted to get in that range, but not quite get with just the high prices to where not everybody can do it, you know?
Yeah, and I understand you're not making this a business. There's really more of like an event.
Yeah, we're just trying to cover our expenses. We lost money last year, so we're just trying to
rebuild
right.
some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. What is another experience highlight or a feedback that you recall from last year's something surprising or a cool story?
Well, I guess a lot of feedback was, we had really a lot of positive feedback, and everyone was impressed that it was our first year and that we were, you know, 20 some year old kids that just kind of winged it, and it was so smooth and everything just clicked really fast. So
yeah, we didn't really run into any problems. I guess this year now we have a permanent announcer. Before, we'd kind of be like, well, I got to race, Hunter, can you take the mic and get going through the brackets till I get back, or Micah, or whoever it is. But now we got an announcer who does the demo derbies in DL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tommy Iowa is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you hired him, or
yeah,
you volunteered?
Yeah. Well, we asked him just because he's a buddy and stuff, and he's really good at announcing.
He's, yeah, he's great at it. So
yeah,
we're just like, you're the guy, we need you, you know.
Okay, and he's coming?
Yep.
So you have a celebrity on board?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and the spectators, is it just alongside?
Yeah, we have orange fences pretty much all the way down. I've been thinking about bleachers, and I'm like, maybe want to get some eventually if this many people are going to start coming. But, you know, not really, I didn't hear a single complaint of everyone just watching on the sides, you know. Plus, people set up tents, bring chairs, do all that.
Yeah, I like, actually, since we are rural, I like the hay bale situation.
Yeah.
Just like a couple rows of hay bales.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you probably have hay bale along for security, no?
Well, we have the divider down the center is, at the beginning is like rock and or gravel, if you will. And on the outside edges, it's like that orange fence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not perfect.
That's more visual.
Right. It's more, I mean, it's, we didn't have any accidents last year, so we were fortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but
yeah. I was just thinking if you have a
right.
whole bunch of hay bales anyways.
Right.
But
not a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
Maybe we should hop on that, too.
Yeah, why not? I like those things.
Yeah.
I just think they look aesthetic. They're cool.
Right.
They're easy to get here because they're all over,
yep,
usually. But, yeah. No, I think that's a fun event. I'm actually excited. I want to come. I want to see it. And I'm sure we intrigued some people. You don't have a website. You have it all on a Facebook page, you said?
Yeah, we're looking into getting a website. We're just going to see how this year goes before we completely commit. But We have a Facebook page.
And it was Turf Wars.
Turf Wars Racing.
Turf Wars Racing. And yep. It's in Cormod Village. It's June 2nd, Saturday. Registration was 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And then first races start at 9:30.
I think we're saying 10, but 10. I mean, it all depends on registration and everything. Yeah. But we're shooting for 10.
10. And then, it depends on how many participants, but like... Is there a final in each class, correct?
Yep.
So we have 11 finals?
Yep. So how we kind of do it is we just start at the top of the list and we'll just go through each class. And that worked great for last year.
Okay.
I mean, I think we ended at maybe 2 o'clock or something or 3. So it didn't even take all day. And we had that many people we could crank out.
Oh,
so we'll just
it was a really smooth, you know, it wasn't, you weren't waiting, you know, 20 minutes for a race. It was, you're waiting 5 minutes.
And okay.
You're back in.
Happen.
Oh, it's a
or
fast
sometimes
pace.
Less, you know. It just sometimes a class transition was 5 minutes, but
yeah. You have a gas station? Bring your own gas, huh?
Well, there's a gas station just
down the road.
Half a mile. But yeah, just usually you bring your own gas. So
yeah, what do you need to bring? So you said you need to bring a helmet. You need to have a long pants. You need to have covered shoes. You said or something.
Yep,
like that?
And just some kind of eye protection.
Eye protection.
Yep.
Gloves are not required, I guess. But you need to bring your gas, your vehicle. Is there any other, do you have like a little inspection? Does somebody go around and just checks it or no?
We kind of, what we have is like when they come officially register, they'll say what class they're in and stuff, and they'll have like a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll like, all right, so what they put what their machine is. And then when they come up the first time, you can just tell if it's super modified or not.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So you check it a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Just for it.
I mean, yeah, it's not a perfect system, but it works, so.
Do you, I know you're passionate modifiers, so you have a little workstation? Like if, let's say something breaks, is there like a little shop? Can somebody borrow a, do they all come with a wrench and they probably, I don't know.
Yeah, you're kind of on your own in that, but I mean, there's plenty of room to work. I mean, it's like a 50-acre field, so.
Oh. And then they are all friendly, and they would, if I need a wrench, I say, hey, you got a wrench? Like, oh, yeah.
Right, that's kind of like the atmosphere with this racing thing, too. Everyone wants everyone to be in it, but obviously you want to beat the guy next to you, but you don't want them sitting out. So, like...
it's a real friendly environment.
Right, yeah. So, like, when I would race at other places, I, like, broke my shifter off, and I just went around, like, hey, do you guys got a shifter or whatever, and can I borrow a wrench? And gave him $20 or whatever for the shifter and let me use, cause, but most of these people bring their own toolboxes and everything because they're that serious about it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. No, it sounds interesting. So can the Canadian people camp? Well, we don't know yet.
We don't know. So we kind of got the okay for camping at last minute, but we're like, oh, it's so close. Let's just see how this goes. And I guess if someone comes last minute and wants to camp, we'll not going to turn them down, but
sure,
we have to, if we're going to do camping, it has to, we have to do the whole insurance thing again, so.
Oh yeah, but is there a campsite nearby?
We would have to turn our field, we'd make campsites, so basically the rules is you gotta fence it off, name it campsite A and B.
No, I understand, but like, you know, why, we don't need to do, isn't there like a campgrounds, let's say?
Yeah, we talked to a couple, but they're... Yeah, maybe in Holly, but as far as the Cormod Village goes, there's not really anyone that has like a overnight campsite. But
I'm just thinking, isn't there like a public campsite?
Tony's campground is right maybe a mile to the west of it, but there I went and talked to them, and they're more of like permanent camping, and they're full, and for insurance reasons, they can't have anyone camping overnight as well.
Yeah, but if it grows in 5 years.
Yeah, we'll be maybe working something out.
Campground somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we have the room for a campground. We just got to, if we get enough people, so yeah, let's camp, we'll do it.
Kind of like at WeFest, they stay 4 days.
Exactly,
It's like a...
Bring your own tent and...
Bring a, like, there's room to grow, huh? Like
all kinds.
2 day
of
race event.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Day arrival.
We'd love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that coming.
Yeah, hopefully.
We hope.
Yeah. Well, I hope we got some people excited and check it out as a spectator even or a participant. And then thank you very much for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.